Genesis chapter 15, if you would, for the preaching of God's word. Genesis chapter number 15. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And Abram, and he, speaking of Abram, believed in the Lord, and it counted to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said unto him, "Take me an heifer 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he took them unto him, all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we ask that you will add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. God, we are a burdened people. We are a needy people. But I'm glad that we are a people that are secure in Jesus. So I pray, God, tonight that our focus might be on you and not on ourselves. I pray that you bind the devil. I pray, God, that you keep a hedge of protection about this place tonight. We know that he doesn't like church, and we certainly don't want him to like it. So I pray, God, that we'll focus on you and not on him. Bless the preaching of thy holy word. I ask these things in thy son Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Here in Genesis chapter 15, we have themed this section, "What Now?" What now? How many have ever gotten to the point in your Christian life where, after whatever has just happened, the question in your mind is, "What now?" If you've been there, would you raise your hand? Say amen. Sometimes it gets that way. Well, what now? We begin this chapter with "after these things." That's why we ask the question, "What now?" We've just experienced victory. We've just obeyed the Lord. Abram has just gone on a rescue effort to save Lot and all those who have been taken from Sodom. He's rescued all of them. He's taken them back to where they belong. He's celebrated the goodness of God. He's turned down an opportunity to compromise with the king of Sodom. He's built a sacrifice to Almighty God. He's worshiped the Lord. He's enjoying the blessings of obedience. But in his mind, he still remembers chapter 12. God called him. God had a plan for him. God told him to look at the stars of the sky, and God said he was going to bless him. And now, somewhere along the way, he's trying to figure out, what now? And we'll get there too, where sometimes what's happening, what's going on, what we're facing, what we've just encountered, what we just came out of, doesn't seem to fit in the big picture. Could I tell you, you better believe enough about God that when what is happening right now doesn't seem to fit the big picture that God is still in control. He still knows what he's doing. He has not changed his plans. He has not moved to a different plan. He knows what he's doing. So here we're following Abraham and really following ourselves through this common occurrence of what now. We saw what now brings to us from God a providential security. Notice this calming authorization that God gives to Abram. Fear not. By the way, aren't you glad that when fear seems to be the natural sentiment, that God knows how to calm our fears? Fear not. Fear not. Somebody in the building tonight is facing something unknown. You're drowning in uncertainty. You're looking for clarity. You're struggling with difficulty and calamity, and the natural response is, oh no, oh my, what will happen? I'm afraid. Hear God saying to Abram and saying to you tonight, even though you don't know what's going to happen, God does. Fear not. Fear not. Calming authorization, if you would, was also coupled with a constant ally. He not only said, fear not, but he said, I am. Somebody say amen. I know it's Wednesday night, but you ought to thank God for I am. I am. I like that about God. That verb, am, is a verb of existence, if you would, at times. And in this passage, it's a verb that's linking God to what he is. But remember, he said to Abram later in Exodus, I am that I am. And by the way, the word am is a verb that is in the present tense. It doesn't talk about what God was. It doesn't talk about what God will be. By the way, I'm glad that God was good. And I'm glad that God will be good. But when I'm facing a trial and a difficulty right now, I don't need the God was or the God will be. I need the God I am. He says, I am tonight. You better know that. Don't you get so caught up in looking at the history of Genesis chapter 15 that you don't realize that the Bible is alive and God's not just saying I am to Abram in Genesis 15. He's saying I am to you in November 2017. I am. I am. I am. And then he says, what he is. I am what? I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord, and I am thy shield. Amen. Thy shield. Boy, don't scurry over words in the Bible. Amen. I am thy shield. Come on. We just sang tonight, his name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad that when I talk about him, I can talk about him like he's mine? Amen. But aren't you glad that when he talks about himself, he talks about himself like he's thine? Amen. I talk about him like he's mine. He talks about him like he's thine. He said, I am thy shield. You can claim me, but guess what? I claim to be yours. I am thy. I am thy. Listen to me. When God brings to the table all of his Godhead on our behalf, it ought to encourage us. I mean, it's great for him to say, I am. Amen. I mean, that just brags on who he is. But he doesn't stop there. He said, I am thy shield. In other words, everything I was when there was nobody. By the way, God was just as much God when the earth was without form and void. God was just as much God when there were no trees, there were no plants, there were no seas, there were no fish, there was no light, there was no sun, there was no moon. Aren't you glad that all God is, God was then? But he says, in your trial and in your predicament, I bring all I am to you. Thy shield and thy great reward. His individual protection and his incredible portion. He said, I am thy great reward. Amen. Abram, before you get happy about everything in the future I've promised to give you, get happy right now because you got me. Amen. Come on now, Christian. Pull yourself out the rut. Pull yourself out the rut and stop telling all of us you'll get out of it when you get such and such. God said, you don't need such and such to get out the rut. You need to remind your brain, I'm your reward. Not your paycheck, not your raise, not your healing, not your returned prodigal son, not your new job. And by the way, ain't nothing wrong with liking all of those things. But let me tell you something. Sufficiency is not in the things that God gives you. Sufficiency is in the God that gives the things. Amen. I am thy reward. And at the end of the day, when you pillow your head, don't get excited about what you have. Pillow your head excited and at peace and fulfilled because your greatest reward is God himself. Amen. The precarious sentiment of Abram was that, yeah, I hear you, God, and I know you've been with me, but I've got this intense desire for a child. Sarah and I, we're desperate. And perhaps he was being met with impatient doubt. Remember, when you flip your Bible and perhaps in one day go from Genesis 12 to 15, what you did in a few minutes represents many years in Abram's life. And I think sometimes because we get through people's lives in the Bible so quickly, we forget about how long they wait. See, we don't have to wait long to find out what happened to Abram's life. We just read the next chapter. But for Abram, it's years. It's years. And perhaps now he's chasing 90. Perhaps now Sarah is chasing 80. They're undoubtedly up in age. And let me tell you something. Don't try to be so pious as a believer that you act like you never doubt. Come on. I mean, the greatest people in the Bible doubt. This just came to mind. One of the greatest men in the Bible. The Bible says that born of a woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist. And let me tell you something. John the Baptist was in prison, and John the Baptist was going through trials, and he doubted. Is this really the Messiah? Huh? Go ask him, is he really the Messiah? And of course, Jesus' response is, look at what I've been doing. Amen. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking. Yes, and by the way, that doubt was gone quickly. And by the way, you don't get doubt from learning new stuff. You get doubt gone away from being reacquainted with the same old good stuff. Amen. Don't look for your doubt to be dispelled by getting a new revelation. Go back to that same stuff you know. The truth of the word of God. And so Abram's doubting. What about this child? And because of doubt, doubt often brings us to deducing or devising, if you would. Well, God, since it's been so long since you promised and I'm supposed to have a child, let me help you out at fulfilling your promise. Maybe you said child, but you meant servant who would become like my child. Amen. Aren't you glad that God never makes a promise and gets performance time and goes, oh man, I didn't factor into the kind of make a little makeshift. No. God doesn't need to make anything shift. If he said it, he meant it. And if he meant it, he's going to do it. And just because he hadn't done it didn't mean he's not going to do it. Amen. And there is some spiritual maturity and there is some development in the Christian life that you can only learn by waiting on the Lord. Somebody say amen. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage and he will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Somebody here tonight is going, God, it's been a while. God, did you forget? God, maybe you didn't mean it that way. God, maybe you just have to shift things to keep your promise. Listen to me. God will be good on his word. Ignorant deduction was that maybe it'll be Eliezer, my servant. And then God comes in with this promised seed. No, son. There's going to be a supernatural phenomenon. I mean, having your child be your servant doesn't take the supernatural.
Has the thought ever occurred to you? If what God is going to do for you is beyond human capability, then that's the best place you want to be, because that means God's got to do it. Come on, talk to me. I mean, we get in, imagine the times when we start panicking. We start panicking when our human propensity maximizes itself. When the potential that we can accomplish in the flesh is peaked, that's when we start going, oh no, I've run out of options, huh? Come on. Oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've spent every dime I had. I've gone to every doctor I've been to. I've tried every procedure I was. Sound like that woman with the issue of blood. Amen. She'd been to every doctor. She'd spent every dime she had. She'd gone through every procedure. But what she hadn't tried yet was touching the hem of his garment. Doctors were men. Money was a medium. Listen, procedures was a medical opportunity. But that day, she needed something that money, medicine, and procedures could not do. She needed God. Maybe that's where he's trying to position you. Well, you always need him. Don't get it twisted. But sometimes he has to assimilate circumstances, not so you need him more, but so that you're more apt to recognize you need him. Amen. See, you need him when you're healthy, but you recognize you need him when you're sick. You need them when you got money in the bank, but you're more apt to recognize that need when you're broke. Amen. Amen. You need them when things are going well, but you're more apt to recognize you need them when things aren't going well. You need God every moment, every second of the day, but you're more apt to know you need him after all your other options have been exhausted. Maybe, just maybe, what you learn about God in the waiting hour and in the waning hour will help you go back to the hour of safety and recognize you need him then too. So he says, I'm going to give you something through your seed. And then he gives him a sighted prospect. It's going to come through your own bowels. And I'm going to give you a sighted prospect. Amen. I'm going to let you see what I'm going to do. And then Abram's sure persuasion was he believed in the Lord. Amen. Verse 5, tell the stars, you can number them. They're all going to be yours. Your seed going to be like that. Amen. God doesn't have to show us anything. We walk by faith and not by sight. But isn't it nice of him to show us stuff? Come on now. Has God ever shown you anything? And you better learn how to say thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for showing me, because I should believe you without you showing me. And by the way, Abram did believe God. Amen. Abram did believe God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. His belief was equated with righteousness. Amen. God equates faith with righteousness. That's how we get saved. We don't get saved by what we do. We get saved by putting faith and trust in what God did, and our faith causes righteousness to be imputed on our account. I am saved because I've been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not because I live right, but because I believe he did right when he died on the cross, and my faith is equated with righteousness. Glory to God. The subsequent product from this is what? That with that righteousness, Abram, I'm going to tell you who I am. I am the Lord. I'm a sovereign person. Amen. What do you mean? I'm the Lord. I'm Jehovah. Somebody say amen. I'm sufficient. I'm self-existent. Well, you need to know, listen, in the what now stage, you need to know who God is. Amen. You can't listen, if nothing else makes sense, God makes sense. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's amazing how one person can tie together a whole bunch of loose ends. The sovereign person, his supreme position, I am the Lord. His significant performance, what is this? that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. The sovereign person had a supreme position and a significant performance. I brought you out. And this sovereign person also had a special purpose. Come on. Notice what he said. To give thee this land to inherit it. Don't miss the Bible. I brought you out to bring you in.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do you like the legal system does? Huh?
Yeah.
They let you out of jail, don't they? And they drop you out outside the fence and tell you find your way somewhere. I mean, that's some kind of freedom, isn't it? No car, no nothing, no money. Go figure it out. That's not easy. God said, no. I didn't just set you free. I didn't just drop you off outside the fence, said you're free. Go figure it out. He said, I took you outside the fence and I'm still driving you. Where are you going to drop me off? I'm going to drop you off in Canaan. I brought you out to bring you in. Say, Pastor, I'm not in yet. Then take consolation in the fact that you're not abandoned. Amen.
Well, I feel like I got a long way to go. Well, good. Thank God that he let you stay in the car.
Amen. I don't know about you. I'd like to be in a car I know never runs out of gas. Hallelujah. I'd like to be in a car that I know has a driver that knows what he's doing. I'd like to be in a car that has somebody behind the wheel that knows where he's going. Listen to me. I'm the first to admit, after years of reading the Bible and pastoring and preaching and serving God, I run up on some things that perplex me. I don't know where I am, but the joy in my Christian life is knowing that I can look to beside me and know that the one behind the wheel knows where he's going. Yeah. So when you get to the what now? Huh? Look back to the what then. Where'd I bring you from, Abraham? The Ur of Chaldees. And I'm not done with you. Come on now. Somebody ought to be encouraged tonight that God's not done with you. You're at a stage in your life that doesn't limbo, 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 right? But could I tell you something, child of God in limbo? Be encouraged tonight that while you're in limbo, God is not in limbo. And he's never going, where are we? And he's never going, when will we get there? Like our kids do in the car 15 minutes after we left. Are we there yet? We haven't even got out of Woodbridge. God wants us to trust him. This just came to mind. Has it ever occurred to you that the Bible never tells children to have adult-like faith? But it does tell us as adults to have childlike faith? We're so good at complicating the Christian life. Boy, if I could just ever just learn so much Bible, I could live for God. God, you're not a good Christian because of how much you learn. You're a good Christian because of how dumb you know you are. Amen. Amen. Good Christians are not smart people. Good Christians are dumb people that admit they're dumb, but they trust in a smart God. Amen. And lest you be offended, I'm talking about all us. So when do I quit having to execute childlike faith? When you're like him. When you see him as he is. In the meantime, act like a child. Not immature, but trusting. You know what children do while you sleep, while you're driving? They sleep. Because something just says, mama and daddy gonna get me there. Amen. You know what they do when you put the food down in front of them? They don't sniff it and go, okay, it doesn't look, was this cooked at 165 degrees? Where's my thermometer? No. They just trust that mom and daddy did the homework to know if they set it in front of me, it's not going to be raw. It's not going to be poisonous. You know what they do in the middle of the night? They go to sleep. They just trust that mom and daddy locked the door. And if anybody comes in, mom and daddy got an alarm. And if anybody bothers us, daddy, you know what boys do? They say, my daddy can beat your daddy most of the time. It's a lie, but they believe it. And most daddies are going, boy, stop saying that. But a child just believes that if I'm in danger, my daddy's got my back. If somebody messes with me, my daddy's going to come get them. Why? Because the instinct of a child is to trust their father. Listen to me, I'm off my notes and I'm way behind schedule. But somebody tonight needs to quit acting like an adult and start acting like a child. And know if you're in trouble, your daddy's going to rescue you. If you mess with, your daddy's going to defend you. If you can't sleep, your daddy's going to sleep by you. If you're worried, your dad is going to console you. He is not your loan officer, your parole officer. He's not your president. He's your father. Amen. And he's going to take care of you. I got to get to my point. The special purpose. I'm trying to get you into Canaan. Now take this down. We got 9 minutes. The prompted sacrifice. But whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Wait a minute. God said, I'm not just talking about getting Isaac. I'm not just talking about getting a child. I'm talking about getting the land. God, how am I going to know that I really am going to get what you gave me? I think this was a sincere inquiry. Do you ever ask God those kind of questions? God, how do I know I'm really going to get that? Don't feel bad about that. We all ask. Well, Pastor, I never asked. That's because you don't believe it. We all, God, how will I know? This was a sincere inquiry, and it was met by specific instructions. God could have said to Abram, because I said so. You ever heard your parents say that? Especially your mom. Because I said so. Doesn't provide much of an explanation logically. But it tends to work because I said so. God could have said, Abram, because I said so. Instead, he said, make a sacrifice. Well, the Holy Spirit of God's convicted me. See, while you're trying to get something from God, you don't get off the hook from giving something to God. Oh, well, I'm waiting on the Lord, so I can't be doing all those things that I'm supposed to be doing while I'm waiting. Once he does it for me, didn't he say build a sacrifice? You know what that means? While you're waiting on whether or not God's going to come through for you, you better make sure you're still doing the stuff you're supposed to do. Amen. Don't miss church. Come to the place. Keep sacrificing. Keep worshiping. Keep reading. Keep praying. Keep serving. Listen, I need God. Yeah, you do. But you need to do what you're supposed to do while you're waiting. Amen. God gave him divine, specific instructions. Specific instructions. He gave him particular details. Let me hasten. Take me. Sacrifice is always supposed to be for God. Take me and heifer, not you. This is not for you. Anything that you claim to do for God that is done for yourself was not done for God. Some of you didn't hear me. Anything you claim to do for God that you were really doing for yourself was not done for God. If you sang for you, gave for you, came for you, God didn't get the glory. Take me and heifer. Take me a goat. Take me a ram. Take me a turtle dove. Take me a young pigeon. Particular details, and notice the purposeful designation. Don't miss this. 3 years old. Grown animals. God says, you want the best from me, Abram? You better give the best to me. Not baby animals, not half-grown animals, not skimpy animals, adult animals. Now, wait a minute. I'm just asking you tonight. If you're engaged in asking God, God, how do I know that you're really going to give me what you promised me? How do I know you're really going to come through? How do I know that down the road it's really going to all work out? And God said, you'll get an answer when you bring me your best. Amen. And notice what the Bible says. Notice the submissive involvement. And he took unto him all these, divided them in the midst, laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And then I want you to notice what the Bible says, verse 11. When the fowls came down, I'll close here, upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. I feel like one of these days I need to preach a message on drive them fowls away. And I don't have time to preach a whole message on it, but I'll just give you a little nugget. When you put down God's stuff for God's glory, and other stuff comes trying to mess with God's stuff, have enough respect for God's stuff that you're willing to drive the other stuff away. Amen. Amen. And there are Christian people who are engaged in sacrificing for God and let one of them dirty fowls come into their life and start messing with God's stuff. Amen. Well, you might have a friend, a habit, a lifestyle, come on now, a weekend event that's flying into God's sacrifice and messing with God's stuff. Have enough Christian guts to drive it away. Amen. Now I'm running out of time here. Give me some hymn books. Hand me some. I'm trying to demonstrate here. Yeah, good. I need some more. There you go. You're doing good. 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 Amen. Good. Good. Amen. I got the deaf helping me out. I didn't even sign anything. They just watching. Now, he's setting down sacrifice. Good. Thank you. That's enough. Thank you. I'm sorry. You're signing? Excuse me. Okay. Now, this is the sacrifice he's laid down. Separated it. Cut it up. Killed it. All right? Amen. When you give God something, the best thing to give him is dead stuff. Why? So you're not tempted to keep it. Amen. Oh, I've given God my habits. No, you haven't. Because if they're still alive for you to take them back, they weren't dead. Come on now. I promise God. I have people tell me I've given up Facebook. Okay. And 1 month later, they've come back with a vengeance. You didn't. God doesn't want anything less is dead, including you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. Amen. I'm crucified with Christ. Yeah, not. Nevertheless, I live yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. You don't know what I said, did I? That's all right. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You got to die if you're going to ever live. Well, how am I going to live if I die? You're not going to. He's going to live through you. But he can't live through you if you're living through yourself. I'm off the message. But here, now, Nathan, go down there. They're getting ready to have a sacrifice. And this is how they had sacrifice. They two parties, when they had a sacrifice, walked through the sacrifices in commit. After they killed them, they walked through the sacrifices in commit. They walked to figure eight. So walk through, that's what they did. This was covenant. Twice. Come on. This is what they did. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. Two parties. And Abram's laying down sacrifice as God said it. They would cut their wrists and have blood. This is where we get shaking hands from. Your wrist, my wrist, blood. The blood would be united together. Well, I hope you come back. We've got a missionary next week. 2 weeks, I hope you come back because I'm going to show you what we're talking about. I'm going to tell you how Jesus walked this for us. Blood. Amen. You say, I don't have it. Yeah, you do. If you say it, you got his blood in you. Somebody thank God that he hooked up with me. And they made a covenant. And Abram's making this covenant. And I don't have time to develop it, but in a couple of weeks, I want to show you what happened here in this passage of scripture. And I want to show you traditionally what happened when a covenant would take place in the Word of God. Thank you. And then I want to show you practically how we've entered into the covenant. The word covenant means cutting. That's what it is. There's a cutting taking place. Amen. And God's made a covenant with Abram before. He's confirming here in Genesis chapter 15. And he's using a sacrifice to do it. Amen. Pastor, you said a lot. Let me give you one thing to go home with. You're trying to get to the next level for God. You're trying to get to the next level with God. You're trying to get God to carry you somewhere you can't get on your own. Don't expect him to do it without you sacrificing. And there's a whole lot of people waiting for God to put some on the plate and they have put nothing on the altar. Come on now, put something down. Put something down. Abram, David and Jonathan walked this figure eight. Amen. Blood is thicker than water. You ever heard that? Huh? Most people talking about family. No. You know where it came from? Came from the covenant. Amen. Ask Jonathan. He chose David over his father Saul because he was in a covenant with David. And blood was thicker than water. Amen. That's why I'm going to heaven. Because I came to earth the first time by water. My mother's water broke. But the devil can't steal me because blood is thick. Woo. Let me close. Literally close the Bible. And my notes. I might preach next week. We got a missionary, but I still might preach. We'll see. But you go read Genesis 15. Go back and read Genesis 12. And then do a word search in your Bible about the covenants. By the way, Adam had a covenant. Noah had a covenant. God kept them all. And all of them were initiated with blood. Amen. And you and I got into covenant with God. And there's no difference. It too was initiated with blood. Hallelujah. I don't read the Bible because it's boring. You're lying. It's not boring. It's hard to understand sometimes, but it ain't boring. It's good. And we're only 15 chapters in. If you're not sold by now, there's something wrong. God's good. You may be at the what now stage, but I'm telling you, you'll never get out of it without sacrifice. Put your best down on the altar for God. And I guarantee you, you'll never give more to him than what he will give back to you. Father, thank you. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.